to the greatest podcast in the history of the known universe. And the unknown.
And the unknown universe. Just the universe.
Being known again with the, if they saw this podcast with the new James Webb Space Telescope.
So
they'd say that's the greatest podcast in the history of the universe.
That's right what there. They would say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't done this in a while.
No, we haven't. That's Jim waxing poetic about the universe, life, the universe in this podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm Ellie. And yeah, it's been a while. It's been like a year,
yep.
Probably. We got broken. We were broken by Butlers in Love.
Yes, Butlers in Love was something that put me off Hallmark movies for a good long while.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that we didn't watch some. We watched them throughout the year. And
some of them.
Some of them. And I have to say, not a one of them was compelling enough to talk about it. So yeah. Sorry, everyone.
But then countdown to Christmas happened once again, and we sat through it. We saw a great many. How many did you tally that we've seen?
21 so far.
21 of the Hallmark movies, not the movies and mystery ones. Yeah, we don't like the maudlin movies right. And mysteries. We prefer the more rom-com-y Hallmark
right.
ones.
So most of the countdown to Christmas, we missed a few. And then some that, for some reason, on the movie checklist app, don't show up as countdown to Christmas.
Yeah, they have a terrible app.
But they're Christmas. Yeah, because now they're filtering in all the New Year's ones.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, now there's five extra ones in there in the mix that I'm like, ah! Yeah, so anyway.
So we've seen a bunch, and a lot of them were left wanting.
Yes.
But
yep.
But we've been powering through them, and we're going to talk about a few of them today.
That's right.
We're going to talk about.
We're going to talk about Hanukkah on Rye. So in decreasing order of like,
yeah.
Hanukkah on Rye, which we quite liked, just yes. So that's clear. Then Jolly Good Christmas, which was one of the first movies to be released this year.
Yeah.
Then Haul Out the Holly. That we found slightly problematic.
That's a Lacey Chabert one.
Wes Brown. Mm-hmm. And then the one we liked the least was hashtag Xmas.
Right.
Even though it has the poor man's Matt Bomer in it.
Yeah. Yes, that's Brant Daugherty.
Oh, yes. So
I just happen to have that one up on my screen.
Oh, okay.
Today.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those four we will discuss, as you said, in order of like, kinda. But we can all agree that Hanukkah on Rye, even though that was the one I approached with the most trepidation, turned out to be the best one of the bunch this year, in my opinion.
Wow. That was, well, it definitely is up there. I had a few that I liked at the top, and that was one of the three.
Right.
Yeah.
So you like others more than this one?
No. I mean, the same. I liked The Royal Nanny.
Yeah.
And I liked that Lights, Camera, Christmas.
Right.
Because they're kind of poking fun at themselves. The whole, you know, it's very meta.
Yeah.
But those were my favorites. And Hanukkah on Rye, like you said, we were kind of like bracing ourselves for it. And it was delightful. So should we talk about that one first?
Yes. Hanukkah on Rye, a matchmaker connects Molly and Jacob. But their new romance is put to the test when they realize that they're competing deli owners. Will a Hanukkah miracle? Oh, Will. It's not a name. It's
Will is a Hanukkah miracle.
Will, comma, a Hanukkah miracle. Will a Hanukkah miracle keep them together? Starring Yael Groblass.
Yael Groblass?
Groblass,
okay.
And Jeremy Jordan. And okay. Guest appearance by Lisa Loeb.
Oh, right. Yeah. She sings a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sings a Hanukkah song.
That's right. And then they played it at the end. It was good. She counts.
Yeah.
She counts the nights of Hanukkah. So, well, we should also honorably mention one of the grandmothers. Well, both grandmothers.
Which grandmother?
So the one from the L.A. Jewish deli.
Yes.
She was the grandmother in Five Star Christmas. She was the grandmother in Picture of Perfect Christmas.
Yeah.
She was the grandmother in that A Christmas Homecoming or whatever, the one with Danica
McKellar.
Yeah, yes. the remake of Sabrina.
The Sabrina one. Yeah.
So she's been in a lot of things, but I like how in Five Star Christmas and in this one, she gets to show like a little more personality. You know, she's not just like park the grandma on the couch. I mean, which they literally did in Picture of Perfect Christmas. She had sage advice to give or whatever, but she was not, it wasn't all about her personality. Right. And so she was in, she was, you know, very good in this role. And also the other grandmother, the New York deli grandmother, she was the mother of Joey Lawrence in that holiday.
Not a Hallmark movie.
Not a Hallmark movie. But where she pretends to be Jewish.
Yeah.
She's like a Catholic mother who pretends to be Jewish.
Right.
For...
Not pretends. They celebrate it when they find out.
Oh, yeah. They didn't pretend. No, they pretended like they always do it or something. It was. That's what. That was.
Regardless,
anyway. What was the name of it?
It's not a Hallmark movie.
It wasn't a Hallmark movie. So we can't say the name of it?
No, we can't.
Okay.
It's He's impossible just saying to that say.
Because he can't remember.
I don't remember it.
We have it. We own it. It's in our library.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway, that's. Well, so I was happy to see.
Give a
these
quick
two.
Rundown of the synopsis of this. So, you know,
I thought you did.
The basics.
Okay, just the basics. So, the New York deli is in, you know, Lower East Side.
Yes.
And they have a bit of a tired menu, a tired look, and fewer people in the neighborhood are coming out to light the menorah in the square.
And have the latkes and stuff like that, but their secret latke recipe.
Yeah, the latkes are very important.
Yes.
So, meanwhile, out in L.A., these people who have a
more
Jewish deli.
Trendy Jewish deli.
But have a much... I thought you wanted me to give the...
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't interject anything,
you can interject.
I guess.
I'm just teasing you.
Okay.
So they have a much more liberal approach to the menu. And they think that it's not just like the comfort food from the home country or the traditional Jewish comfort food.
Yeah.
But people... Like they probably have moussaka and whatever other traditional dishes on there.
Right.
So they're taking an approach of like melting pot Jewish deli versus traditional Jewish deli. And so they send the grandson to the Lower East Side to scout out a location for a new deli. And at the same time, the grandmothers contact a matchmaker for the grandchildren. So there's a granddaughter at the traditional Jewish deli, and there's the grandson of the LA deli, and they have nom de plumes, and they're forced to write letters.
No other contact.
No other contact.
Letter writing.
Aren't supposed to talk about work.
Right.
But meanwhile, he goes into this Jewish deli and gets the dad to tell him the brining recipe and stuff like that, but just out of like friendliness, not angling for anything. But then she starts to open up about like how she's worried about the business and how her family won't really help let her do anything. And then he is like having second thoughts about setting up a business on the same block, basically, as hers. But the family in LA is pushing. And she finds out, so he finds out first who she is in real life. And then he realizes he likes her. And so he's trying to stop the sale and he can't. The next thing you know, his whole family comes from LA.
Right.
And they're pushing to have this deli. And he's like, I don't know what's so important. He doesn't really talk to them until they show up. He talks to his grandmother. And she says, well, this is important to me because I lived here for a few months and I always said I would come back here and open up a restaurant. And now is the time. Yeah. And so he can't stop the sale. You right. can't stop them signing the lease to the building or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that, so she has agreed to meet this guy, even though it's outside the rules. And he stands her up, but she's like, that's fine. It turns out I like this guy, Jacob, better. Right. And so he's like, he gets the thing and he's like, she's dumping me, but she likes me. Right. So that was kind of cute. And the, I'm just going to wrap it up by saying the families start to come together.
Mm-hmm.
She does a lot of stuff that's innovative to get people involved in the community. And he really respects that. And they, the parents, so the grandmothers, when they find out that there's been some impropriety with this thing, they go to see that matchmaker. And then they realize that they're talking about their grandchildren, and then they're going to have a latke off. Like,
a latke competition. Yeah. What was the best one?
A Bubby Palooza or whatever. Yeah. Right. And so meanwhile at that Bubby Palooza or whatever, the parents are talking to each other and they're like, we just want the kids to be happy. So then the kids have to, the grandkids have to, bury the hatchet or whatever. They make the latkes and everyone agrees they taste exactly the same. And they uncover this family history that the great grandmothers of both of the clans were best friends on the ship, and they shared the recipes, and they ended up going into, burying the hatchet, declaring their love. And then they go into business together, opening up a new deli. One called, and on one side of the building, it's Sarah and Rebecca's, and on the others, it's called Rebecca and Sarah's. So it was really cute how they were like, even though they were coming together, there was like a little bit like, no, it should be Sarah and Rebecca's, and they find a way to always make it work. So how was that?
Thank you, Ellie, for that quick rundown.
That's it. Hey, less than 10 minutes. And I left out a whole lot of stuff, like the doorman who was super cute. He figured out they were both in the building, and the messenger for the matchmaker is like, hey, you want a cut of my, I'll just give you these envelopes and you can just do the old switcheroo. And
yeah, because they were in the same building. They were staying in the same building.
Yeah, instead of having, so there were things like that that were also like little details that were cute.
So the things I liked about this is I like the fact that a lot of it seemed, even though it was like way over the top Jewish, like even Jewish people would not act this Jewish.
Well, I love, or they would say things, oh, I hit the Jewish jackpot. It's like, no, they would just say they hit the jackpot.
Yeah. So I like the fact that their relationship seemed a little more realistic.
Yes.
Than most of the Hallmark relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that he is warned by the doorman that if he doesn't, when he realizes that that's his match from the matchmaker, and he doesn't tell her that, hey, I'm the guy, I'm the guy you're writing to.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't tell her right away. The doorman warns him she's going to be really upset that you didn't tell her.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? She's really upset that.
Right. But he said, oh, that's really sweet. And she's going to hate you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And the other thing I liked is they didn't dress her up in all these fancy. She worked in a deli.
Right.
And walking around in the streets of New York and stuff, they don't have her all dressed up in fancy clothes. And she's not working in a deli wearing high heels and trendy boots and stuff like that. So I like that. It seemed a little more lifestyle realistic.
Right. Well, and that they were just, they were genuinely good people too. Right. Like even the dad, when he realized, oh no, he got my secret briny recipe out of me. You know, he's like, he's a little upset and threatened, but in the end they don't act super threatened and right. they aren't mean about it. Mm-hmm. And like, we'd only watched half of it and you had assumed, oh yeah, and the family's gonna try to keep them apart or something. I said, right. no, actually, they try to put them together. Like every step of the way, they encourage right. their relationship.
And this matchmaker is so good.
She is so good.
That she not only matched the couple, she matched the family.
The whole family. I mean, uncovered that, this.
This was her history. Plan from the beginning.
Yep. She
was, she's a crafty one.
She that, is crafty. Yep. And she was inside that office the whole time the bubbies were arguing yeah. with each
That's
other.
That's right. Because she knew.
Yeah. They needed to just work it out.
Yep.
Yep. And she was there to judge the latke competition.
Yeah. And they didn't even know it. And
That's then right.
she was their job. My job is done.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, that one was, that was like A plus in my book.
Yeah.
It checks all the boxes. And even though it obviously had the misunderstandings, there wasn't any of this when she finds out she's got to go to the Poconos or something, yeah. right? Like, she doesn't have to leave town for some reason. She does not want to talk to him, but eventually she does.
Right.
They have difficult conversations. And mm-hmm. so, and that's very realistic, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was really good. So none of the usual tropes and plenty of the good stuff thrown in. And just a few of those things that were over the top, like the doorman mentioning their very generous tips. Yeah. I've never heard them mention that for any other in any other Hallmark movie that yeah. that dealt with Gentiles. So I don't know if there's like a little stereotyping, you know,
anti-stereotyping.
Yeah, like going in there. But I could overlook that, yeah. you know, so it's do we have to rate it? I gave it an A+, but we do have ratings, right? Do we do stars?
Did we?
I don't know.
Can't even remember. We haven't done these in a while.
Yeah, let's not do stars.
No, but we said whether we liked it or not, we'll keep or delete.
Oh, we kept this one. we keep this one.
Yeah.
And I even recommended it to my sister, so.
Yeah, so this was a keep.
Yep.
This was a keeper, and we both liked it.
Thumbs up
for both of us.
Yeah. So then last night we watched Jolly Good Christmas for the second time. Well, and maybe we'd seen it more than once, but we hadn't seen it for a while because it was on very early in the run.
Yeah, and this one takes place in Jolly Old England.
That's right.
Hence the title.
Yep.
Jolly Good Christmas. And it is, the synopsis is, when by the book architect David hires free-spirited personal shopper Angie, he finds himself on a wild ride across London in search of the perfect Christmas gift, but finds something he wasn't looking for.
Love.
Starring Will Kemp and Reshma Shetty.
Yeah.
Now, Will Kemp, we know from
Christmas Waltz.
Christmas Waltz, the chocolatier one.
Yeah, in Belgium with Lacey Chabert.
Yeah, Christmas and Chocolate or Love and Chocolate.
Yeah.
Love Belgium and Chocolate or something like that. I can't remember what it was. So, obviously, this guy's a British guy, and they have him doing an American accent all through it, and he is terrible.
And his girlfriend's name is Charlotte.
Charlotte. You can see him overpronouncing his R's.
Why didn't they just make him?
He could have been British.
Because it had to be a fish out of water type thing.
Not really.
Well, Americans.
Yeah.
But why didn't, I mean, it must have been like a COVID protocol thing that he's British and they had him in Britain. It was, you know, because why didn't they just have an American do it?
Or why not? Having him British changes nothing.
Well, except that, you know, when he falls into the river and stuff, she's like, oh, Americans.
Yeah, but that one line. I'm saying, but story-wise.
It's not, yeah.
Being American hinges on nothing.
Is it another anti-stereotype that they had to get, like, an American in there to be super driven about his...
Hallmark thinks if they don't have an American in it, or at least someone speaking with an American accent, that people aren't going to like
I think it's some reverse stereotyping about how like Americans are the only ones who would move to England and be super driven about their careers and date the boss's daughter or something, you know, and then be so clueless as to like not know where to go shopping.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, maybe that's what, you know, so.
Yeah. Or it could have been just someone new to London.
Could have been. Could have just moved from Manchester.
Yeah.
Or Yorkshire, you know.
I know. Instead, we had to suffer through him trying to pronounce his R's.
and like, just not believing. Not believing it. Like, all of a sudden, you would hear him overpronounce his R's. You'd be like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's doing a bad. He's American in this.
Yeah. So I've liked him in those other movies. Yeah. You know, I have no problem. I liked
the Christmas Waltz.
And I liked her. I thought she was terrific.
She's very good. Yeah.
And
it's just at first I had a higher bar. And so I didn't like it at first because I had high hopes for Countdown to Christmas. But now that I've watched 21 of them and really only liked about three, you know, I can appreciate this one more, you know? And so I thought that she was quite delightful. And it is that series of, you know, going through London, mishaps, him falling in the river, her taking him back to her apartment, drying out his clothes, them deciding they're going to go to this gala because he missed a very important meeting. You know, then he's got to go to his friend. His best friend in the office is this gay guy who's married to this other delightful guy. And they have cocktails and stuff and great parties.
And they got an awesome house.
And an awesome house with a beautiful door. Yeah. So he goes there to borrow a tux that obviously, you know, he never should have borrowed his friend's tux. He should have borrowed the husband's tux.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been more believable. But they go to this. They go to this gala. He runs into Charlotte, his girlfriend, and he's like, "Oh crap! I said I was working late tonight," and so they're trying and to
Charlotte,
sneak out.
And Charlotte, there, oh blimey, what's going on with you and this other woman?
Yeah, and then like leaves them all these messages. Call me. I'm so upset. And then the next day, she's like, "You know what? I was upset, but I wasn't hurt." So I don't think I really like you. So see ya. Meanwhile, he's fallen in love with Angie Patel.
Yeah, and Angie's parents, who own this restaurant, they're trying to hook them up, like, seriously.
Seriously. Well, and there's this whole thing, which is also, like, a little bit of a stereotype. I'm not going to harp on that. But, you know, this whole thing of, like, they came to this country, they sacrificed themselves, right? I mean, they have British accents, so I had the feeling maybe they didn't come to this country and sacrifice themselves, but they have this restaurant and they want Angie to run it one day. And so it's that whole thing of like her parents' expectations.
Right.
And she feels like they don't support her because they're always trying to get her to run the restaurant. And they say things like, hey, this restaurant was good for you. Like, this gave you where you are in life. Like, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. And so that classic miscommunication.
She's got a personal shopper business that isn't doing incredibly well.
Well, but she's also like, she wants to be an author.
Right.
And so she's not really fulfilling her purpose. And so they're just saying, okay, it's fine with us. At the end, they have the big, you know, serious conversation.
We
support you. You can do whatever. We know that you will be successful. Just go out and be the best that you can be.
Right.
You know? And so I thought that was good. So you had that kind of going on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he then knew what gift to get her, of course, because he was in love with her. And they both show up at the Thames to throw
a coin,
a tuppence or whatever
into the Thames to get your birthday wish at the stroke of midnight.
Not birthday wish, your New Year's wish. Christmas wish,
whatever. Wish.
The stroke of midnight, they show up at the same place, you know. I mean, obviously, they are, you know, meant to be.
Birthday, so. Christmas,
it's not. Christmas wish is very powerful.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he...
because it wasn't New Year's.
Lots of stuff. He falls in the river, and then he, like an idiot. And I've walked by plenty of rivers. And I don't think I've ever fallen into one of them.
It was because he wasn't listening to her.
Yeah.
And then, of course, everything worked out with the boss. Right. You know, worked out with Charlotte, worked out with the boss, worked out with the very important guy.
Yeah.
Because he did say something that the guy wanted to hear more. And, you know, he stopped by on his way to the airport to get the spiel. Mm-hmm. And then they got the bid. They got the contract or whatever.
Yes.
Because, you know, he's talking about having more work-life balance.
Yeah. Plus, you know, they engineered, as they always do, the guilt-free breakup.
Yes, they did a great guilt-free breakup because not only the whole thing was predicated on the fact that they'd been dating for 6 months, it was their first Christmas together, and he got her a gift card.
Right.
And that's Angie Patel was like, no way, you can't do that. And then there's even the thing about the friend in the office, how his husband almost broke up with him on the first Christmas because he got him a gift card, right? So there was like, that was the thread. And then when Charlotte broke up with him, she gave him a gift card.
Yep.
Right? So it was, anyway. Yeah.
So it was all right. I liked the lead. I liked the supporting characters. And there was nothing in particular that I said was terrible except for his American accent.
Right. And we forgive him because he's not American.
Yeah. He's not American. We know you're not American, dude.
Yeah. And Hallmark, please don't put him in other roles where he can't.
You know Colin Farrell.
Doing whatever accent.
Whatever accent he puts his mind to.
Right.
You got to just stick with your British accent.
That's part of his charm.
Yeah. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine with the British accent.
Yeah. That's high praise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have watched it anyway.
Yeah.
With everyone with a British accent.
Yeah. So anyway, Jolly Good Christmas. We can recommend that. That's if you are stuck on the couch and that's the one that's playing, by all means, enjoy.
Yeah. You don't have to turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah. So, speaking of,
before we get on to the next two, we're going to take a break and read some viewer mail.
Viewer mail?
I'm kidding. We have to apologize. We received this email from Laura, but it went into the spam folder.
Ruh-roh.
Of what's our...
Marks the spot mail?
Yeah, Marks the spot mail went into the spam folder, and I did not know that spam did not forward.
Ah.
So this one was sitting there for a year.
Oh.
In the spam folder.
And that's Laura who sent it?
Yes.
Thanks, Laura. Sorry.
So she starts off, Merry Christmas, but remember, this is Merry Christmas from 2021. 2021 Merry Christmas. We'll send her a little email saying, hey, we read we found your email and read it on the air.
Right? Yeah.
It says, Dear Ellie and Jim, I wanted to email you and let you know how much I've been enjoying your Hallmark podcast. I started listening last year, and really enjoy your reviews. I love how detailed Ellie gets with her recaps. Oh, then you got a special one now. And how you both take the movies just seriously enough while still maintaining a sense of humor about them. Oh. I also love how you include whether you're going to keep the movie for a rewatch, delete it, or think it's a good sleeping movie. I'm actually not a Hallmark movie fan, but I enjoy listening to your podcast as I fall asleep. My fellow snores and sometimes keeps me up. Some of your recaps have actually made me want to watch a few of the reviewed movies. I love it when you share reviews of your favorite classics. It always makes me want to go back and watch.
Well, oh, that's nice.
You shared a few clues over the course of the episodes, but I'd like to know how you started watching these films, and I'd enjoy hearing how you met. If you're willing to share that info on an upcoming episode. Thanks for your podcasts. I hope you both have a lovely Christmas. Laura, former Californian and avid podcast listener.
Oh, so
Well, Laura, if you are listening to this podcast,
which hopefully she will when we email her and tell her that we finally found your email.
We started listening to watching Hallmark movies when my brother, my younger brother, who I also do a podcast with called Destroy All Movies, which can be found at damshow.co along with our other podcasts. He said, you got to watch this movie called The Christmas Card. It's so incredibly bad. You got to watch it.
And so he and his wife came over and we watched it with them and picked on how bad it was. Yeah. And we were completely hooked.
And then we watched Trading Christmas and yes. then it snowballed from there. Get it? Christmas snowball.
Yeah.
I got it with the theme.
Yeah, I got it. It did snowball from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, because they had Trading Christmas too. And we watched that one. And so then from then on, we started watching them.
Yeah.
But this was a few years ago because.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm trying to think of when we started to really watch. But I mean, it was kind of right when they were starting to do like so many.
Yeah.
When like we started to watch it. And then after that, they were like, OK, we're going to have 25 new movies for Countdown to Christmas.
Yeah. When we first said, oh, there's going to be 15 new movies. We thought, oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Now there's 40 or whatever. And it is ridiculous. Yeah,
having this many.
Oh, it's a lot.
Just crank them out. Now everybody makes them.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Oh, my God. Amazon.
Now CBS.
Yep. Yeah. They're, Lifetime was already making them because there are a couple on Lifetime that we like. Like we were mentioning that other one and the 12.
Netflix. Hulu.
The 12 date.
Dates of Christmas.
The one with, what's her face? Amy Smart.
Amy Smart. Yeah. And Zach from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, and there were a couple of Lifetime ones that we like the Christmas Around the Corner I still like. That has the woman from Virgin River.
Right.
So
that's basically how we got into
watching. That's how we got into watching them. And then how we met.
Online.
Online. A dating app.
Yep.
And we talked about movies, but that was way before Hallmark movies. Yes. So.
We didn't watch Hallmark movies at the time. So it was not a Hallmark movie love connection.
No. No. And that was almost next year. It'll be 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In a few months. So that's how we met. He had a picture of himself with a Captain America shield. And I said, that's a nerd I got to meet.
Yes. That was a picture from Comic-Con.
And we were both, he's originally from Jersey and I lived in Jersey. So we also had a Jersey connection.
Yeah. So.
And here we are in California. Yep. So our former California friend, Laura, that's it. Thanks for being curious.
And Laura, I hope you're going to listen to the new ones we put out. And I'd just like to say good night.
Yeah. Good night. Yeah. You can go to sleep now. Now we're going to talk about Haul Out the Holly.
Haul Out the Holly.
Okay.
Brown and Lacey Chabert.
Can I just tell you, I did not realize until the movie started that Haul Out the Holly is a lyric from that song. All out the holly.
Oh, I did not realize that was a lyric either.
Well, I was like, how did they come up with Haul Out the Holly?
It's not one of my.
It's not a usual. It's not, like, it doesn't have Christmas and it doesn't have.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not on my list.
Oh, it's not on your listening list. Christmas playlist.
Yeah, that song.
Yeah, I'm just saying I didn't realize where the title came from until the music queued up.
Plus, her name is Holly. Isn't it?
But he's not hauling her out. Anyway, read the thing. Let's find out.
No, it's Emily. When Emily unexpectedly spends the holidays alone at her parents' house, their HOA insists that she participate in its many Christmas festivities, starring Lacey Chabert, Wes Brown, Stephen Tobolowsky, Melissa Peterman, and Ellen Travolta. Who was Ellen Travolta in this? I can usually spot her.
The good friend, the one that she her husband isn't coming home.
No, no, that's not Ellen Travolta. Oh, I know what Ellen Travolta looks like.
I don't know what Helen Travolta looks like. How old is she?
Travolta. She would be up there. That's John Travolta's like older sister.
Well, that's why I thought it was woman who
she was.
She kept on standing up.
Yeah, she was an actress back then too, even when John Travolta was an actor.
Okay.
She was a character actress.
Well, okay. Well, anyway, are you gonna give a what do you call it?
What?
A synopsis?
Yeah. So basically, the parents are the head of the HOA who are moving to Florida. And Wes Brown is now the new president of the Homeowners Association. And it seems like, Lacey Chabert goes to this town and he starts writing her up for a whole bunch of violations.
A lot of infractions.
And always showing up at her door. And they got the crazy neighbor, Stephen Tobolowsky, who's like really eccentric and stuff like that. So you slowly find out the whole town is in this big conspiracy to get her to stay and fall in love with Wes Brown.
Yeah.
And then their parents come back and, said, this was our whole plan. It was our whole plan all along. And congratulations. And
so Ellen Travolta plays like an older neighbor, Mary Louise. And the one I was thinking is Melissa Peterman.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, that's Ellen Travolta.
Yeah. So they're all in on it. And it's like the parents put them up to it.
Yeah.
Because over the top all the time. And she hated it as a kid. I don't know if you said that because I was kind of looking. She hated it as a kid. And what was going on with her and Wes Brown as kids? He had a crush on her.
Right.
And like kept a picture of the two of them. From when she got a camera, like she got a Polaroid and was taking selfies, which she had amazing for getting a new camera and doing selfies with a Polaroid. She had amazing aim.
Yeah.
It's like how many would you have cheap? Yeah. How many would she have wrecked before she figured out, I need it to be just like that. Right. Yeah. But yeah, they're all in on it. And the parents are like in Florida.
Right.
And egging her on. And showing their craziness, their absolute craziness about like, what about the lawn display? And she, and the dad is like, I have a secret locker. Right. But, and so she goes to the secret locker and she finds all the stuff. And what that is actually one of the funny parts of the movie, I have to say, is that she chooses the lawn. Not one, here's a snowman display or here's a reindeer display. She chooses bits and pieces of it all that remind her of the neighbors.
Right.
So it's basically her kind of like an homage. I don't want to say she's picking on them, but she's like, here's so-and-so and so-and-so. We're always together. Right. And here's this guy with the scarf around his, wearing. So it's funny. She has this eclectic mix. So she's doing it, but she's definitely still doing it her way.
Yep.
And she enlists all of their help because even though they're all in on it and they're all put up to it by the parents.
Yeah.
They do want her to succeed. It's not like, no, she's got to figure it out on her own.
Right. Well, there's also a secret organization. A secret Christmas organization that she is adopted into.
Right.
She is a member of. Like the
skull and bones of Christmas decorators. Yeah, it's like Santa's
little helpers or something like this. And Wes Brown and Stephen Tobolowsky. That's when she
gets the walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They get the one. It's really insane. This whole movie is insane. I'm watching it. I'm going, one, man, I would have a cop there, a lawyer saying, this guy is harassing me.
Right. he's coming up with all of these infractions and like measuring the height of her nutcracker from shoe to chapeau, right? It has to be 31 inches or whatever like that. But, and also like she connects with him. So it's like, first he's harassing her.
Yeah.
And then when she doesn't suggest that he would make the perfect Santa Claus,
he mopes about it.
He mopes. He like disconnects his ho, ho, ho doorbell ring. He basically, you know, he doesn't do anything to like incur the wrath of the thing, but he stops wearing his funky Christmas sweaters or whatever.
And he basically manipulates her into falling for him and stuff like that. And, you know, the whole town does.
It's so manipulative.
It's creepy as heck.
Yeah. And then like she wakes up on Christmas and guess who shows up? Her parents.
Yeah.
To like come clean on the whole thing. Like the mom knows about the secret locker where he keeps the.
And they have, you know, and they have their plans to infiltrate the HOA down in Florida.
And then they just give her this humongous mansion.
Yeah. For free.
For free. Oh, do you want to live here? Okay.
Yeah. Here's a free house.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. So that when things don't work out with Wes Brown, you have a place to live.
I tell you, Lacey Chabert makes a habit of getting free houses in these Hallmark movies.
When else did she get a free house?
She got a free house when she, in that Christmas Melody.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That was her family's house. Yeah.
She got a free a safari resort.
Oh, that's right. She inherited that.
Yeah.
Yep, that's
she
true.
Got the bed that's and got breakfast.
Multiple houses.
She got the bed and breakfast with Warren.
Oh, yeah, with Warren.
With Brandon Elliott.
That's right.
Lacey Chabert just stumbles onto free housing.
In love or whatever. Yeah. Hearts, something.
Yeah, autumn or, hearts no, or in, yeah. something in love.
Well, I thought it was in love, but yes. it's some the first one, all of my heart.
All of my heart, yeah. That's ashamed I know that. Yeah, so this one really put me off.
Yeah, and so I slept through it the first time. I think I slept through it the second time.
Yeah.
I finally had to watch just from the second half on, you know, and yeah, I just found it incredibly creepy and manipulative and unrealistic.
Yeah.
I mean, these people just, and I understand people go crazy. I mean, look, they have elements of this in the most wonderful time of the year with the neighbor saying, you don't want to be the only dark house on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
But it's not a whole, it's just that one crazy neighbor.
Yeah.
It's not like the whole cul-de-sac coming to her saying, you don't have your lights up yet. And do you need help with that? We're going to put them up for you. You know, it's, although that woman does tell that guy to come rob her garage. So she is great neighbor in the most wonderful time of the year. But anyway, yeah. So this one we did delete. Oh, yes. We should say we did delete also Jolly Good Christmas.
Yes.
But mostly because things have been disappearing off of our DVR.
Yes. That's quite the scandal with Comcast Xfinity, where Hallmark movies disappear from our DVR without the DVR being full.
Yep. And so they're denying it. There's all kinds of stuff. They deny it. But then is it in the cloud? Is it here? And there's no way to check how much you have in the cloud.
And it's happening to too many people.
Yeah, it's happened to a bunch of people. And so when we realized that our old favorites like Christmas List and Mistletoe Inn
were disappearing.
We had to be very draconian about what we deleted.
Yeah.
So Hanukkah and Rye is still there.
Yes.
But the other ones gone.
Yeah. Jolly Good Christmas. Maybe I'd watch it if it just happened to be
like
on.
It was last night.
Right.
And we did watch it.
But I'm not going to go back and watch it.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Haul Out the Holly. Of course, we
delete with
prejudice. Prejudice.
You didn't even talk about the thing that you liked about it.
Oh, Stephen Tobolowsky is the only thing I liked about this movie because he plays a crazy eccentric neighbor.
Right.
And he's good at playing crazy eccentric characters.
Because we know him from Groundhog Day, right?
Groundhog Day. He was in a Seinfeld episode. I remember he was like a holistic doctor. He's been in like a million things.
Yeah, he's a great character actor.
Yeah. He was in that movie Sneakers. He was the one where, my name is my passport. They kind of, man, it's a Sneakers, Robert Redford, Harry Belafonte, River Phoenix.
I've never seen
Sneakers? Oh. Where they play like a bunch of hackers?
I've heard of it.
Mary McDonald, Robert Redford.
I love all these actors that you're naming, but
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. So but I remember from Groundhog Day
because he's Tobolowsky the one who comes up. Is in it. Yeah,
he's Ned.
Ned Ryerson who comes up with. He meets every day.
Right after he steps in the puddle, or
yeah,
right
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I fall asleep in that movie too. But yeah, so. You know, you see that scene enough, you know what's going to happen. So
delete
and. Yeah, I mean, watch it only and if you're curious. And my wife's
a big Wes Brown fan. I'm immune to his charms.
I'm not a huge fan of his. I don't hate him.
You like him in that Check Into Christmas.
I love Check Into Christmas. What I mostly love is that he does not touch a thing ever. They're making wreaths. He doesn't do it. They're making gingerbread houses. He doesn't touch a thing. He just sits there with his arms thing. And so my new theory is that he can't do things and deliver his lines at the same time. That's my theory.
Ah,
he just sits there looking pretty. Like
the exact opposite of Brad Pitt, who would be touching and eating everything he could find.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so this one I wouldn't say. If it's on, I guess you can watch it. I'm just saying
that's probably the one and only time that Wes Brown will be compared to Brad Pitt.
Well, so I'm just saying, if this one's on and you have a different one on your DVR you want to watch more, I might go for that. If you're in the mood for a Hallmark movie.
There are better choices.
However, if you want to watch it and see if we're right about this crazy gaslighting that the whole town is doing on this poor Emily, who, you know, just to get her holiday spirit back, then, you know, by all means, let us know what you think. Yep. So now we're going to do one that we absolutely hate.
Yes.
Well, no, that makes it sound too personal. Yeah. There are elements of this that we absolutely hate.
Right. Yeah. This one's called hashtag Xmas.
Yeah. So, you know, feeding into the whole social media craze.
Right. When Jen gets the chance to enter a brand's design contest, she poses as a family influencer, enlisting the help of her best friend Max and her baby nephew. When her video is selected as a finalist, Jen is torn on whether to go on with her perfect family or reveal the truth, starring Claire Bowen and Brant Daugherty.
Right. So Brant Daugherty, as we said, we've seen him in other things.
Yeah.
He's like been Mingle All the Way.
Yeah.
I forget what he was in last year.
He was in that one where he was the bodyguard. He was like a Secret Service agent or something.
Another one? Another bodyguard one?
Yeah, I think it was a royal thing. He had to protect this princess.
Oh,
yeah. She went on a road trip or something.
Oh, yeah. That one where they drove from L.A. to Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In an old Mustang or something. Yeah, because
she went to meet that painter.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I barely remember that from last year. Okay. So, anyway, we've seen him before. We like him. Claire Bowen, I don't think we've ever seen her before.
Yeah, we've seen her
before. Oh, we have?
Yeah, because I didn't like her in the thing we've seen her before.
But in this one, she like does this thing with her mouth that's it's always tense and she mumbles.
Yeah.
We couldn't watch it at first. And I just powered through. But we started to watch like the first 5 minutes. And when we couldn't hear what she was saying and understand it, we just turned it off.
Right.
And then I went back later and persevered. But, you know, and her sister, who is the mother of the nephew, is the best friend in what's that one with Chuck's sister, the Broadway actress? Tis the Season, I think it's called.
Yeah Tis the Season for Love.
So she's been in a bunch of things. She was also on like Cedar Cove as like a really bitchy
she was,
yeah, wasn't she like a really kind of snotty person on Cedar Cove?
I don't recall her being on Cedar Cove, but I'm pulling up her
her bio.
Her credits.
Oh, okay.
And
I mean, she's good, but they totally curled up her hair in this. Usually she's got
Sand Dollar Cove. She was in Sand Dollar Cove.
Sand Dollar Cove.
Yeah, remember Sand Dollar Cove with the Australian dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in that. That was a...
Is that the one where she was complaining about being at the beach all the whole time, basically?
No, like she's the friend who owns the diner.
The diner. Yeah.
Yeah. The other one, Sand Dollar Cove, is the one where the woman's going to buy the thing and they got the pier and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, that's you just named about that just described like three or four Hallmark movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I was quickly whipping through her thing to see if she did any other Hallmark things, and I don't see anything.
Really?
Right now.
We've seen her in a bunch of stuff.
It doesn't show here.
Okay.
As her being in it. She's been in like normal television, like she was on Nashville and
this is one of those ones where they only put the two of them.
Exactly.
That's so somebody said it was super cute. So anyway, so ironically, the name of their store is Jen Yuen, Jen.iune.
Right.
And her sister is the high powered businesswoman who's now like a business owner and mom.
Right.
Who doesn't get enough sleep and convinces her sister to enter this influencer social media contest that's being run by this big brand, you know, these two people. So it's a couple that runs it. And they're looking for influencers to work with over the next year. And so she says, no, I can't do it, blah, 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 blah. She is just a mass of neuroses.
Yeah.
And she does do it, but she does it as a character, Jen T, who is married and has a kid, and she takes the baby, the nephew, right, and passes it off, gives it a different name and all this kind of stuff. And says that she's married to her best friend who has been in love with her all through college.
Right.
And maybe even before.
And she hasn't noticed.
Well, no, they had dated and she thinks that they mutually decided to split up.
Right.
But she decided. So she has all this stuff, like her father died when she was or left them when she was a kid.
Right.
And then her mother got married like three more times in quick succession. So she has all these hangups about relationships. She's mm-hmm. mad at her mom for not being around. She feels abandoned and like her mom should have been there for her, should have been more understanding, should have been whatever. And here she is, a successful businesswoman in her own right. And she has to lie in this contest.
Right.
To like get ahead. Mm-hmm. And so it keeps on snowballing again and again, you know, all these things where they take the mom sees on social media that her daughter is married and has no idea that this even happened.
Mm-hmm.
And cancels her trip to the Bahamas or whatever to come be with them. But then when she gets chosen as a finalist, the couple influencer, the big honchos, they decide they're going to spend time with each of the finalists.
Yeah.
So they like redecorate the mom's whole house and then they're passing the baby through the window. So the baby's not even staying there. It's not even like, oh, well, my sister and her husband are staying here. And like, right. It's like, no, they're like pretending the baby is in the house and then like passing it like a loaf of bread through a window. It's ridiculous.
Now, there's also a subplot in this movie about the hosts of this reality show who are married, but
they're on the rocks.
They're on the rocks because she does nothing but
work
on the show. And he's saying, we never spend time together, blah, 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 except for, and she's going, oh, we need to work out the best shot and stuff like
that. Right. This. He wants to have a real conversation with her. Yeah. He's asking her all the time, you know, are you going to come home? Can we have dinner together?
Yeah.
And she's just always shooting him down. Well, so of course, as you can imagine, it gets to the very, very end and she has a meltdown on live.
Yeah.
Like, and says, I lied about everything.
Lay it down. You predicted exactly what was going to happen. exactly what you predicted happened, happened.
Yep.
That the baby was going to call her sister mama. Mama.
That's right, because you could tell they were setting that up from the beginning. Yeah. Come on, say mama, say dada.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the sister saying, oh, I have 16 hours of labor, you better say mama first.
Yeah, you know? And so that's what you said.
That's what's going to unravel the whole thing. That's what's
going to unravel is the baby is going to call her, the right. sister mama.
Right, and it's true. That's what happened. I mean, on top of the fact that they called the baby like Leo Ansel, and the baby's name was Reed. And then they're all calling the baby Reed when the hosts get there. And yeah, so they're doing this live thing. The baby says, mama, and they're like, oh, Reed. Oh, this is so amazing. And then she's like, that's it. I have to come clean. I totally lied about this. And right. so the hosts are like, okay. And everybody's upset. Like, she could have had a conversation with these people behind the scenes at any point in this.
Yeah,
saying so, I'm doing this as a character.
Yeah.
Gen T. And if you don't like it, you know, that's it.
You know, you can throw me off the show or whatever, right. but, you know.
But meanwhile, of course they don't do that. So that gives her and Max a chance to be hanging out, playing house.
Yeah.
And feeling that it's like kind of nice and natural.
Yeah.
But it's also she has her.
So he lays it on the line. A bunch of times.
A bunch of times.
And she shoots him down every single time.
And she even says to him, you know, he finally says to her, look, you know, I never didn't love you.
Right.
You decided, right? And then her mom hits her with like, or in the stepdad kept on saying like, you know, your mom just wants you to love her. Like, you know, yeah. she acted like her mom was the biggest monster on the face of the planet.
Right.
And the stepdad kept on saying, like, you should give her a chance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so other people objectively around her are telling her, you are the one blocking everything. You're blocking your relationship with Max. You're blocking the relationship with the mother. You are blocking the success in your business. Right. Everything. She's just in 2 hours we had to watch of her like self-destructing and obstructing every good thing in her life.
Yeah.
And that it was just too much. Too much.
Right. And she mumbled the way through it. And that's why I don't like mumblers.
No. And in the end, you know,
I know because I mumble enough. I don't need to hear all the mumblers.
I know. I almost put on the old subtitles, which are terrible on Xfinity. So anyway, I have to say, yes, she does come clean. They do have a nice. Oh, that's the dog dreaming.
Our dog dreaming.
See, put him to sleep too, Laura. So she does grow as a person. She does move forward in her in the trajectory of the thing, but it's and they have a very nice family Christmas thing at the end, right? Like,
yeah,
and but it wasn't enough, just wasn't enough. It was too much pain to get to that nice resolution, and in the end, I'm just like, speak up.
and I think she acted terribly throughout the whole thing. You know, this whole deception was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, there's no defense for it.
Like I said, if you're going to do a character, be authentic about the character.
Right.
Right. But instead, she's lying to everybody saying, oh, you know, I'm here with you and I know exactly what you're going through when she doesn't. She only knows from her sister.
Right.
And the sister is not the designer. So the sister can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then why not have both of them?
Right.
Hey, I'm Jen. I'm the designer. Here's my sister. She's, you know, we're keeping it real here. So how do you have a video where you're like, I'm keeping it real, totally lying through my teeth? Yeah. So anyway, hated it. And don't watch it if it's on. Also at the end, because it's a social media thing.
Yeah.
You know, because she was selling it as like, oh, you're going to have a boost in your, you know, Max is a photographer. And so he's getting all these job opportunities, you know, all these inquiries.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're doing a thing where she's supposed to promote his dad's business. And she totally says that she made the gingerbread house or whatever, or the Yule log or whatever. And he was like, you're supposed to promote my dad's business. So they shot it one way. And then when they did it live or did it again, she totally changed her whole thing the way she said it. And the hosts were like, what's going on? I mean, so it's just throughout this whole thing, she's so inauthentic. She's so fake. It's just the worst. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So at the end, because it's social media, they have their moment. And then he's like, oh, hold on. And he does like a selfie.
Yeah.
And it was just so like to me that I'm just too old, I guess. Like it just cheapened the whole thing. And maybe that's what kids would do these days. But it's not to me. It just made it like, well, it's just as fake. It just underscored how unbelievably fake she had been through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But it was disappointing because it was this guy doing it.
Right.
It was Max's idea.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
So sad all the way around.
Yeah. Yeah. In my opinion. Yes.
Do not watch.
Do not watch. We deleted this immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So, well, after the second time. After we turned it off because we couldn't take the mumbling. When we finally made it through, we deleted it immediately.
Yeah. Once I made it through the entire movie, which took about three, four attempts to watch it.
Yeah. Those are those four out of the 21 we watched. We still have a few more to watch. So we will do a few more episodes talking about the Christmas movies. And then beyond that, we cannot promise because already the New Year's movies are not thrilling us.
Yes.
What we've seen with the pugs, Pugs in Love.
That Seaver dude.
Corey Seaver. Not our favorite.
Seaver. Oh.
Yeah. And this Wedding Veil Expectations.
Oh, the Wedding Veil.
They
made more Wedding Veil movies.
Except now they're going to have babies, which is just not my jam. That's not romantic to me. So I can't promise anything. So sorry. Yeah. Sorry, folks. But we'll do a few more Christmas ones.
Yeah.
We'll keep it alive. And then we'll figure out a way to keep the diversify.
Spirit of Christmas alive.
Maybe we'll find a way to diversify to keep the podcast alive in between Christmases. We'll do more classics.
Yeah.
We
can do more classics.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all right. Well,
thank you everyone for listening. And
go to damshow.co.
Yep.
That's where you find this podcast and our other fine podcast at Dam Junior Podcasting.
And you could send us an email to marksthespotmail@gmail.com. My question for you is, did you recheck the spam filter before?
I have not rechecked the spam filter.
So we'll have to, we'll go back before we do another one and make sure if anyone sends us an email, we'll definitely find it.
Okay.
Thanks, Laura, for your email. And we appreciate your listenership.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Anything else?
No. Until next time.
Until next time. Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. It's the seventh day of Christmas. So enjoy Christmas time. It's still happening. And
sure is.
We'll be recording another one soon. So you'll hear more soon. Awesome. All right. That's it.
Who are you?
I'm Ellie.
I'm Jim.
And have a good one.